So now we come to the center of the Megillah and probably the most central theme to Purim, right? Haman throws lots, you know, to see when, you know, zodiac-wise, you know, it's best, you know, when his horoscope says it's best to wipe out the Jewish people. And it came to the month of Adar, and he was very happy. He thought that, yeah, that makes sense. That's a good month to wipe them out. And because it's the mazel of fish, and fish swallow, and I'm going to swallow the Jewish people, right? And also, it's the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died, right? And that's the whole theme of Purim, that v'nafoch, it all flipped on him. It was all, everything he thought actually reversed on him, right? Because this month became actually the most festive month of the calendar, right? And instead of him defeating us, we defeated him, and right? And the Gemara says, you know, seemingly as if, you know, Haman made a mistake in thinking that it was a good month to annihilate the Jews, because, you know, fish swallow and get swallowed. Haman, you're not the fish that's going to swallow them, you're the fish that's going to get swallowed, right? And also, yeah, it's the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died, but it's also the month that he was born in, right? So, we have to think, was that, like, why is Haman wrong? Haman seemingly is right. It can't be a Gemara saying that he's wrong, because logically he's actually right and not wrong, for the very reasons that the Gemara said. He's right and not wrong. Right? First of all, you know, the mazel of Adar is fish, plural. You know, Pisces, you know, mazel dogim, two fish, right? So there's one that swallows and one that gets swallowed. You know, why is it logical for Haman to assume that there's two fish in the picture? So one swallows the other, probably. Why should Haman think, you know, that he's the one that swallows them? You know, there's nothing illogical in that, right? Nothing illogical. And vis-a-vis, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, right, the logic is on Haman's side. The logic is on his side, right? Because, yeah, it's true he was born there, but it's also true that he died there. Now, which is the ultimate state, right? Which is the permanent state? Yeah, he was born, right? But that's how it started off. But it ended off with Moshe Rabbeinu dying. You see, it ended badly. Not only that, his death seemingly is his permanent state. He was alive for 120 years, but he's dead forever, you know, seemingly, right? From Haman's perspective, you know, if not for the fact that there will be resurrection speedily in our days, right? But you know, he's dead for much longer than he's alive, and the death is the final state. Seemingly, you know, how did it end? You go by how it ended. And Adar ends off as the day, you know, the time Moshe Rabbeinu died. It may have started off good, right? But it ends badly. And seemingly, the end is its final state. Final state is equal to its, you know, permanent state, its dominant state. So as far as the Moshe Rabbeinu issue, logic is on Haman's side, right? So, therefore, we just proved logically, it can't be that Haman was wrong. Haman may have been short-sighted, but he wasn't wrong, you know, short-sighted. He wasn't open to all the possibilities, right? And that's the whole miracle, right? Because if Adar, in essence, really is a good month for the Jews and always was, then it's not the big miracle of v'nahafochu, flip, right? It was just that Haman thought he would do it, but there was no reality to it. And we say it was a huge miracle where everything flipped over. So Haman actually was right, and we proved logic. He had logic on his side, particularly on the Moshe Rabbeinu issue, because Moshe Rabbeinu dying in that month is, you know, is the way it ultimately ended off, and is, you know, is the dominant state of affairs. So to further understand, you know, what happened over here, you know, and what has to do with us, and to understand this halacha of Mishen Nichnas Ador Marbisikul, we should start increasing joy. Not just Purim, and not just the week of Purim, but from the time the month comes in, there's something about the month that, you know, demands to start being happy from the get-go of the month, right? So there's something very interesting, right? That Av, which is the saddest month on the calendar, and Adar, which is the happiest month on the calendar, right, are like evil twins, right? They're you know. There's a, you know, the Brisa, you know, says both did them together, just like Mishen Nichnas Adar Marzer Simcha, from the time Adar comes in, you should start being happy. So also Mishen Nichnas Av Mimat in the Simcha, Right? Once Av comes in, you should start decreasing your joy. It's from the time Av enters, not the week of Tisha B'Av. You know, from the time Av starts, you start decreasing your happiness right then and there. Right? So it's like, you know, they're evil twins with each other. They're, Adar from the moment it starts being Adar, start being happy, and from the moment it starts being Av, even though it's not the week of Tisha B'Av yet, sorry, not the day of Tisha B'Av yet, start being sad, start decreasing happiness. Mar bim simcha, increase happiness, mimati simcha, mitigate happiness. There's, right? And it was just like, and it was said in the same breath, as if it's the same din, you know, just this is the positive application din, this is the negative application din, but it's really the same din. That's what it sounds like. And furthermore, as now the evil twinship between the two, you know, is that, you know, the Gemara goes on to say that if you have a court case with a guy, try to do it during Adar. And it's, you know, and the seeming, you know, the literal ring of the Gemara is at any time during Adar. It's the whole month is a good time to cream a guy in court. And if the court date with the guy is Av, try to get out of it, you know, push it off. It should be in Adar and avoid Av. Av is his month. And over there it sounds like the whole month of Av, even though it's brought down in the Zohar. Supposedly I heard that it's Sfarim saying name the Zohar, it's only a problem until Tisha B'Av. But either way, it's literal ring is that it's the whole month, and certainly even the first week, which is nowhere near Tisha B'Av, right? So it's like the month itself. There's a good month to defeat Goyim Adar, there's a bad month. So it's like they're talking about the same thing in the one is the inverse of the other. It's like inverses of the same idea. Right? That's something to look into. But to understand the depth of it, right, is we'll start with Av. Imagine if these spies that came back from Israel would have told the truth. You know, Eretz Yisrael is great, and although there are these strong nations there, we could cream them. Let's say all the 10 spies, the 10 bad spies, would have agreed with Yoshua and Kalev's positive description and encouraging description of how, let's go, it's a good land, right? They would have gone into the land of Israel on Tisha B'Av, right? It was because they came back on the eve of Tisha B'Av, and all Tisha B'Av night they cried. God says, you cried, I'm going to institute it a day of crying for all generations. Right? But the crying and buying into the Meraglim story made Tisha B'Av. That's what created Tisha B'Av. Right? They bought into the story, and then perceptions, they bought into, you know, the Meraglim story, and they made it their reality. God says, I'm going to make it your reality. Right? But if not for that crying, imagine what would have happened. Then Tisha B'Av would have been the day that they would have gone into the land of Israel and would have been the happiest day in the world, the happiest day in the calendar, like it will yet be in the future, that we know in the future, you know, Tisha B'Av will be a Yom Tov. It'll be what it was meant to be by original design. By original design, Tisha B'Av was always meant to be a Yom Tov, the Yom Tov of entering Eretz Yisrael and building the Beis HaMikdash and having Moshe Rabbeinu with us. You know, it would have been the day of the final tikkun of going into Eretz Yisrael with Moshe Rabbeinu and having the complete geula right then and there forever after, like what Tisha B'Av will yet be in the future. But, you know, Tisha B'Av was meant to be the happiest month of the year by original plan, and in our sins of believing the spies, we made it the worst month of the year. But we did that. That's what God says, you cried, so I'm going to make it that way, because you think it's that way and you believe it's that way, so I'm going to make it that way. It was in response to our, you know, making it a bad day for ourselves that God says, so let it be that way. So that means we made Av a bad month. I heard from my Rebbe, Moshe Shapiro, that in Hebrew grammar is when you double the last letter, it means very small. Like katan is small, katan tan. Right, doubling the last two letters means very small. Right, similarly, to understand, you know, we call idols elilim, and an idol is an elil. What does it mean? Well, the word el per se means power, right? And we have a little power. It's like people think it's powerful, but it's really small. So we call it little power to make fun of it. People think it's powerful, but it's small. This thing that people think is small, elil, small power. Right? You know, people, you know, to make fun of it. Right? And there are many other examples that doubling the last letter is a, you know, that suffix, you know, doubling the last letter, last two letters, is that suffix is to make it small, right? So he said an unbelievable thing. So Nisan, which is the month of redemption, is Chodesh Ha'aviv, right? The spring month. Now, Aviv could be read as, you know, it's doubling the last letter, right? Could be read as small Av, meaning that by ritual design, Nisan, the whole the redemption that happened on Pesach, is supposed to be small compared to the redemption that was meant to happen in the month of Av, which will yet happen by the final coming, you know, by the third temple. So the month of Av will be the biggest holiday to make Aviv, Chodesh Aviv, you know, make Nisan look small, Pesach look small by comparison. It's Aviv, it's the small Av. So Av by inception was meant to be the happiest month of the year, and it's by our sins that it's a bad month. We changed the mazel of Av from good to bad. Except that God is not going to let it be like that permanently, and God will force us to do tshuva, and God will fix it, you know, because God, you know, prefers the good over the bad. He likes it when we make good innovations. He doesn't like when we make bad innovations. Bad innovations that we make, he reverses, right? But eventually, right? You know, the good innovations is what we want, he wants us to do, right? So Av by inception was a good month. We made it a bad month. We changed the zodiac. We changed the power of the month. And that's why from the moment the month goes in, it, you know, we already have to decrease happiness. Because, you know, from the moment the month comes in is when the energies of the month start coming out. And we have to mourn the fact that the energies of the month are negative, that's our sins that made it that way. So we have to start mourning from the moment the month comes in, even though Tisha B'Av is a week and a half away, right? We have to start mourning from the time the month comes in, because we have to be upset that the energies of the month are negative because we made it that way, right? And that's why we're particularly vulnerable during the month of Av. You know why we're particularly vulnerable? Because it's all our fault that Av is a bad month, and that's why we deserve to be vulnerable. God is saying, you cooked it, you'll eat it. You made this problem, so I'm not going to protect you from it, because you made it. I mean, God, thank God, does protect us. Relatively speaking, the protection that there is over us is less because it's our fault that it's a bad month. So you cooked it, you'll eat it. You'll eat your own cooking. That's it, right? All right. But it's the same way Adar. Adar, indeed, by inception, was a negative month. Haman was an accomplished sorcerer, soothsayer, gypsy, whatever you want to call it, right? And he knew how to throw the lots or read the tarot cards and all that stuff. And he knew what he was doing, and he was right. He had logic on his side. That, you know, but Moshe died during that month, you know. So, yeah, the month had some goodness to it, right? But for sure, at the time that Haman threw the lots, right, the recessive goodness that there was in the month, it was recessive, like we said, right? And what was dominant, of course, they ask you, you know, what's more important, you know, what's more permanent? The fact that Marshman was born in that month or died in that month, we say he died, because, you know, that's the final state, that's the way it ended, so that's the way it is. Things are the way they end, right? That's the way they remain. They remain the way they end. You know, or look at Israel. He's been dead much longer than he was alive. Right? So, you know, Haman was not wrong. And that's why it's such a big miracle. Because, you know, through our repentance that we did, and our tshuva shlema and our tefillas, we changed the mazel of the month. We changed it. We made Adar from being by inception a not good month for us. It's the month furthest away from Pesach. God made Pesach, you know, Nisan, a good month. God declared it a good month. You know, God declared it a good month, and this is the month furthest away. That's the first one. This is the 12th month. It's the month furthest away, right? And so, naturally, the way the world was wired up until the story of Purim, the way the world was wired up was, you know, reality was wired up in a way that Adar is not a strong month for us. It's not a good month for us. And we made it a good month, right? And that's why God says, you made it a good month, so you deserve so much credit, and that's why, you know, you should fight Goyim this month, and I'm with you, I'm behind you, because, you know, you deserve to get the full benefit of the goodness of this month, because you made it the month that it is. And that's why from the time that the month starts, we have to already start being happy. We have the right to party from the beginning of the month, because the fact that this month has the positive energy that it has, we did that. When the story of Purim, we reversed the power of Adam. We made it flip. That the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was born on that month is the dominant aspect of the month. And the fact that he died that month, right, even though logic would have said, but that's just not the way it is, right? The fact that he was born that month is the dominant aspect of Adar. The fact that our enemies get swallowed, that's the dominant. We set that. We made it flip in that direction and stay like that. And since it's a positive innovation, God forbid, God would never reverse it. He reverses our negative innovation, so Av, he'll fix in the future. But Adar will always keep us a good month, because that's what God wants us to do, make positive innovations. Right? God endorses our positive innovations. And that's why we have Simcha in Adar from the get-go. From the get-go, because we have to, be happy and proud of ourselves that we change the energy of the month itself. And the energies of the month begin from the first day of the month. Mishnichlas Adar Marim v'Simcha. So in short, the whole miracle of Purim is that we changed Adar. We flipped the mazel of Adar. We flipped it for the good, and we made Moshe Rabbeinu's birthday the dominant aspect of it. We made the fact that the fish that represents our enemies is the one that swallowed. We did that. We changed it. We made it that way, and that's the tremendous simcha that explains the halacha of Misha Nichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha.